That's a personal preference.
Mayor Hales, just so we can keep this orderly, I'll second it for discussion.
Okay.
Thank you, Commissioner. Second, and this I think would be a more controversial proposal, we in Portland rely on the transportation of fossil fuels. Our gasoline generally comes from the Olympic pipeline, which comes down from Washington State. And I think that the oil that's used to generate that gasoline is generally brought to Washington State from Venezuela or Texas or somewhere else by tanker ship. So we are implicitly, by whenever we go to the gas station, endorsing the transport of oil in one of those forms. I think that it makes sense to say that we're opposed to unusually dangerous forms of oil transportation, but I think that we should implicitly and explicitly, in fact, acknowledge that we are not in a moral position right now to oppose all forms of transportation. So I'm proposing that the first be it resolved in 1056 be amended to say, now therefore be it resolved that the City of Portland opposes oil by rail transportation through and within the City of Portland and the City of Vancouver, Washington, unless and until transport by rail is demonstrated to be as safe and carries the same level of environmental risk as transport by tanker ship and pipeline.
Is there a second for that?
I'll second for discussion.
Okay. All right, let's hear the next one.
First Amendment to 1157. The eighth whereas clause reads, whereas extraction of fossil fuels through fracking and tar sands processing, which has become widespread throughout the Western United States and Canada, has especially damaging impacts to human and environmental health. I'm concerned about the word especially because it seems to me that extraction of fossil fuels in a wide variety of forms is extremely dangerous in all sorts of ways. For example, mountaintop coal mining is pretty darn dangerous, and deep water drilling for oil is pretty darn dangerous. So I would feel more comfortable if we remove the word especially. I also wanted to add a risk that wasn't referenced here, which is that fracking increases the potential for earthquakes. I think that's been demonstrated to be clear in Oklahoma, for example. So I propose deleting one word and adding a few others.
All right, I'll second that one.
Yeah. The next one, actually, I'm going to delete my Second Amendment because it's not that big a deal. The Third Amendment that I proposed to 1157 is to the 14th whereas, which says, whereas economic opportunities presented by fossil fuel infrastructure are modest. I think the intent there was to say economic opportunities presented by expanding fossil fuel infrastructure, because obviously our current economy unfortunately depends on fossil fuel infrastructure all over the place.
Okay.
So I suggest adding the word expanding.
I'll second that one too.
Thank you. The next amendment is to page 3, the first be it resolved. Now therefore be it resolved that the City Council will actively oppose expansion of infrastructure's primary purpose is transporting or storing fossil fuels enter through Portland or adjacent waterways, and add, except for those infrastructure investments that improve the integrity of the current fossil fuel supply in Portland.
What do you mean by it? Well, I guess I'll second it. We'll find out later what you mean by integrity.
Well, I also have my Fifth Amendment, I think is sort of illustrate some of the examples of what I'm talking about. I propose that we add in the fourth, be it resolved, it's further resolved this resolution is not intended to restrict improvements in the safety or efficiency of existing infrastructure, including improvements in new infrastructure needed to prevent fugitive gas emissions, improve seismic resilience, develop emergency backup capacity, or that allow companies or organizations to ultimately move towards alternative fuel sources without increasing emissions. This is language that my staff developed after consultation with Angus Duncan, one of the state's leading authorities on climate issues. One of the issues I'm concerned about, for example, is that right now, virtually our entire liquid fuel supply is in tanks near Linton on liquefiable sources, and some of the tanks are really old. And actually, one of the major dangers of an earthquake is that those tanks might break, and that could be damaging to the environment and human health. It could also mean that, again, unfortunately, since we are now reliant on fossil fuels to do almost anything, that if those tanks broke, it would be impossible to revive our economy in the short term. So I actually have been asking the oil companies to make sure that they've replaced those tanks with ones that will survive.
Well, I'm going to second this, and we're going to come back to staff, because we have some written testimony raising this issue about improving seismic resilience tripping one of the wires that's in the existing resolution. So I want to give you a chance to tell us if that's a real or perceived threat.
Can I just add a clarification on that one? Do you mean including but not limited to improvements, or including only these improvements?
Good point. Including but not limited to. That should have been the language. Thank you, Commissioner. Finally, I would note that I've got two versions of my Fifth Amendment, one of which would delete the language we discussed earlier, which says the resolution is not intended to restrict the provision of service directly to end users. Because, again, I'm not sure that we don't, I think, in fact, we do want to restrict the provision of fossil fuels to end users, and I'm still not quite sure what this means. However, staff obviously is going to elaborate on that, so I presented two versions of this particular amendment, one of which keeps the end user's language and one of which does not.
So I'll second the one that doesn't delete the end user language, because I'm convinced through the briefing I got yesterday from staff that that is essential to the balance they've crafted. So okay. I'll second the one that doesn't delete end users.
Okay, we've got those. So do you, I presume.
Have all but the last one.
Okay, Carlo will make sure you do. Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Novick. We got those on the table. And then are there others?
I have some others, Mayor, and I'm trying to make sure that we don't create undue complication. Do you want to go through these and then come to mine, or do you want to put everything on the table?
I think it might be useful in this instance to take testimony before we act on amendments, just because we've got so much on the table. But what do you think, Commissioner Fritz? This is your resolution, so.
Yeah, we do need to have a vote on the oil train resolution today. So as long as we leave time at the end of testimony to vote on the amendments.
Let people speak about these and then take them up again. We've got them here, so.
We're gonna
let people talk about these amendments if they have thoughts about them. So we're not going to act on them yet.
What I'll do is I'll put my amendments on the table, see if we have seconds.
Oh, and by the way, one housekeeping thing before you do that, and that is we now have another room, the Rose Room on the third floor, open that'll hold more people. So if you get tired of standing and want a place to sit until such time you want to come back in here, we've got the Rose Room open as well.
That's got the biggest TV I've ever seen outside of Austin Stadium.
So I'm going to hand out Fish Amendments 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Okay.
Following Steve's lead, I'm going to ditch one of my amendments. let me walk you through them. Fish Amendment 2, and these are all to Mayor Hale's resolution, 1157.
Okay.
Fish Amendment 2 inserts a new directive on page 3 that prior to any council action, and that was intended to be after a vote, prior to any further council action after a vote. So if we don't have a vote today, if we have a vote at some point, the mayor shall schedule, one, a work session to review any proposed code changes, and two, an executive session to review the legal considerations of any proposed code changes.
Okay, I'm fine with both those. I'll second those.
And again, legislative intent was any further council action after we've voted on the resolutions. Fish Amendment 3 is a new directive following in the Be Therefore Resolved section. Bear with me.
It's another action item.
It's another action item. It reads as follows. Be it further resolved that the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability shall undertake an analysis of the economic impacts of any proposed code changes with a particular focus on potential impacts to local blue-collar jobs.
Second.
All right.
Fish Amendment 4 is a they get funnier. Fish Amendment 4, which I actually worked up with some environmentalist friends of mine, recognizing that there's a blue and a green alliance for how we move forward on this matter, is a new directive that reads as follows. Be it further resolved that the city and applicable bureaus shall explore opportunities to invest in Portland's human infrastructure by supporting programs to retrain our workforce as the city transitions to a clean energy economy.
Good. I like that. Yeah, I'll second that.
Mayor Hale seconds that.
I like that idea. Let me get the PDC to help with that.
Yeah. I thought it would be PDC planning and whoever else you directed. Yeah. And then Fish Amendment 5 takes The penultimate, I love that word. I didn't know what it used to mean, but it's actually second to last. The penultimate resolve clause is amended as follows. Be it further resolved that the city shall consult with its tribal government, partners, the state of Oregon, local governments, and other key stakeholders, including labor, business, environment, and neighborhoods, in advancing this policy.
Second.
Okay. And that applies, obviously, to the whole resolution.
Right? I think it was implied in the resolution, but since the only directive that you consult with anybody was to other governments, I wanted to make sure that the other stakeholders were also part of those conversations.
Okay, good. All right. We've got two packages of amendments in front of us, and everybody understands those, I think. Any reactions or questions with staff?
Well,
Any other questions?
Question, Michael?
I just want to make sure I have my hands on. I think it's your Fifth Amendment, Commissioner Novick. Okay. Do you have any more of those, Carla?
We'll make sure you get one. Okay.
That's about the end users?
Yeah.
That's. I was going to ask you some questions about that, so that's probably a good point of departure.
He's got extras. All right.
So given we have over 100 people waiting to testify.
So yeah, let's try to keep questions brief and then let testimony begin. So.
This one strikes as a good. Okay.
That's what I'd like to do. Okay. Yeah, we're not going to get to
figuring out logistics.
Okay. All right. It's not a bad idea. Okay. So Commissioner Fish is saying
you were going to address
he's going to hold most of his technical questions till later, but
well, I have a few. I'll do it. So I think Commissioner Fish said I had 10 minutes.
I'm making it 5 now.
All right.
Speak fast.
So, Michael, first of all, thank you very much for the time you spent yesterday briefing me on this. Sonia and I thought it was actually one of the best briefings we'd ever received on a complex subject in our office. So thank you for the 2 or 3 hours you spent working. One of the things that you and I agreed is that there are some words in the Hales resolution that are open-ended. And one of your challenges is going to be, if it passes, to sort of give life and meaning to them. But because they frame the discussion, I want to take a handful of them and give you a chance just to say what you understand they mean. That's all. And I think that will help the testimony that follows as people can focus on. So taking the mayor's resolution, it begins with a statement of principle, oppose expansion of infrastructure. And expansion of infrastructure means what?
Would mean an increase in the capacity of the infrastructure, whether because it's a larger size or because the flow through is increased.
Or so, because it's new.
Or because it's brand new, exactly. Okay.
One question that's come up, and we'll take this up later, is Portland Public Schools has a propane tank capacity, which they use as they're moving all their vehicles to clean energy. And the concern that's been raised is if they were to add capacity to their tanks, does it run afoul of this expansion of infrastructure prohibition?
So that's a good example of why the language about providing service directly to end users is in there, because the intent is not to keep PPS from adding to the school buses that run on propane.
Okay. Second, the resolution talks about expansion whose primary purpose is transporting or storing. What does primary purpose mean?
The primary purpose would be infrastructure that is designed and built specifically for transporting and storing fossil fuels. So there's a lot of ancillary infrastructure that contributes or enables storage and transport, and roads being the example I used earlier.
It's the example of I-84, that wasn't built for the primary purpose of transporting fossil fuels.
Correct, and yet fossil fuels do cross it, and they are driven down it. And so we're trying to acknowledge there's a lot of infrastructure that can support that, but whose primary purpose was not to transport fossil fuels.
Okay. The scope of the resolution is it applies to things going through Portland or adjacent waterways?
The Columbia River is the specific reference there.
Okay. Now, the end user language, which is important to Commissioner Novick's amendment, and which you spend a lot of time walking me through, that shows up in the the third from the end, be it further resolved. It says that this resolution is not intended to restrict improvements in the safety or efficiency of existing infrastructure or to restrict the provision of service directly to end users. So what do we mean by the provision of services directly to end users?
So a moment ago we had the example of whether it's Portland Public Schools or another fleet converting to propane or compressed natural gas where they are fueling their own vehicles with it. And providing service directly to end users would allow that. In the same spirit, a new light manufacturing facility that uses natural gas to power, to power whatever, industrial process they're doing, this would allow that because the fuel is being used on site, either burned to produce energy or as a feedstock. So we're trying to recognize that there are circumstances where that is probably in the interest of the community.
And one of the questions I asked you yesterday is that sentence is limited by the reference to safety or efficiency. So it's not intended to restrict improvements in the safety or efficiency. Commissioner Novick, as I understand it, wants to expand that. So when we come back to you after some testimony, if you could help us understand what's the impact of expanding it along the lines that Commissioner Novick has proposed. And in fairness, he has picked up some concerns we've received in correspondence that have come into the council. So I'm inclined to, particularly around resilience, support him on that. But I'd just like to know how that changes your view of end users. Couple other questions, and then I'm on a tight clock.
You're almost.
Has the governor weighed in on this issue, on this resolution?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. And so my last question then is, in light of the fact that the state has set low carbon fuel standards, and let's say propane, for example, is listed as a bridge fuel, how do you harmonize this proposed action with what the state has established, and are they inconsistent, or can you harmonize them?
Well, there are a variety of ways to achieve the low carbon fuel standard, and so less carbon intensive fossil fuels like propane would be one of them. But there are also other ways to get there through biofuels, through electric vehicles, and so this has the potential to restrict some parts of what have otherwise been thought of as pathways to comply. But it certainly doesn't undermine the whole intent. And I think especially over time, where the low-carbon fuel standard is it's sort of the next step to get to a 10% reduction in the carbon intensity of transportation fuels. Here we're working with a goal to reduce emissions by 80%. And so in part, I think we are taking a longer-term view of it, and it would require accelerating the transition to some of these much, much lower carbon fuels rather than just a little bit lower carbon fuels.
I appreciate your questions, Commissioner Fish, and I guess let me elaborate a little bit on Michael's answer, and that is I think your questions are very helpful in making sure we're clear about what the council's intent is here. Another way I would state it is that it's not the intention and nor will it be the effect of this resolution for the city of Portland to determine people's individual choices about what fuels they use, whether they are public agencies like Portland Public Schools or homeowners or businesses. So we're not attempting to steer people's choices about what fuels they personally use. However, it's a decision about the macro question of are we going to be part of a large-scale infrastructure that expands to move more fossil fuels around the world. That's the distinction that I would draw.
This is an important discussion, and I'm going to call a halt.
Okay, you're right. You're a good
right
timekeeper.
Because I have to give Commissioner Novick a chance to.
One last question.
You have one last question.
I see you're eyeballing me, so we'll do one last question. And
well, that was the last question.
Well, the mayor's comment prompted something. Michael, there's been a little confusion in the communication we've been getting about what's the legal impact of adopting a resolution versus the legal significance of adopting the code that you would be instructed to draft. Can you just succinctly tell us what the difference is?
Sure. So for something to have the force of law and to require compliance, it needs to be adopted by ordinance through city code. And that's not what you're contemplating today. The resolution would It sets direction, and it tells staff to go forth and do a number of things, including develop that code, which, if adopted, would have the force of law.
Commissioner Noe, did you have a further?
Actually, I had one comment, which is that I want to recognize Ben Wilson and his colleagues from the Metropolitan Learning Center, who I hope is still here. Because if I didn't, then his mother, Kathy Kaufman, wouldn't forgive me. But I do have a comment or a question for the mayor, which is that ultimately, yes, we are trying to affect people, the choices of individuals. I mean, if there, as a result of our actions, less oil goes to India, then that ultimately means that fewer people in India will put gas in their cars. I mean, ultimately, the goal of all this, I think, is to change the context within which individual people make individual choices.
Context, yes, but we're not determining it for them, right? Okay. Other questions now? All right.
I think we should move to testimony.
I think we should. Thank you both.
Thank you very much.
To the sign-up sheet again. We're going to limit testimony to 2 minutes apiece because we have a very large number of people signed up. If you have heard your points well made, feel free to give that person a thumbs up and wave off the opportunity to speak. But if you do want to speak, that's why we're here.
Mayor, so, just to be clear, my understanding from you and Commissioner Fritz is that we will pause at 5:45, take up any amendments germane to Commissioner Fritz's resolution, seek to get a vote of the council on that, and in the event we have another 50, 60 people still in the queue, we would have a second hearing to finish the testimony.
I think that's right.
Okay, thank
that's
you.
Right. So go ahead, please.
We have some students here.
Students, yes. I would like to take students
okay.
and
we have
anyone.
Some from the Sunnyside okay. students, if you're around.
They're right behind you, I think.
Let's go with you first.
They're right behind you, Carla. Here they are. Oh, they're also in front of you. They're everywhere. All right, Sunnyside students, welcome.
Hi.
Just give us your name as you proceed in whatever order you'd like. And speak up to the microphone and so people can hear you. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Olivia Miller, and I'm an 8th grader at Sunnyside Environmental School. I am worried about my future, but to be honest, why wouldn't I be? We are only plotting our own deaths by putting out fossil fuels into the atmosphere, which is creating the environment that we live in today. The problems we are facing now not only affect you as adults right at this moment, but that burden will be put on us and our children, and maybe even our children's children. Climate change doesn't only affect America or the city of Portland, but it affects the entire world. By exporting coal, propane, natural gases, oil, and much more, we as a nation are burdening our younger generations with having to live with and fix the effects of climate change. By stopping exports of fossil fuels through Portland and its nearby waterways, we can change people's views on climate change. This is an incredible opportunity for our city. We can turn our lights off or take shorter showers all we want, but none of that will matter unless authority figures like you take a stand and set an example. Right now, everyone is watching Portland, and we as a nation are setting the example for everybody. Oregon and many states around it are starting to lean towards renewable sources that can help put a dent in climate change if we spread the word. Building more infrastructure is not the answer. That is not what we as a nation need to respond to climate change. Portland is starting a chain reaction along the West Coast, and as the city of Portland, we are beginning to change the world. A few days ago, my little brother, who is 8 years old, said when I mentioned this testimony, "Oh, that's about climate change, isn't it? Climate change, the thing that's going to kill us all." That scares me. That an 8-year-old is thinking like that, this is what he will have to live with his entire life, and that he has to worry about that now? That shouldn't be what a 3rd grader says before going to bed. His only care should be what baseball cards he's going to get for Christmas, not that he's going to die of something because past generations created. I, as a part of Portland's youth, support the Climate Change Action Plan, but we need to walk our talk. These resolutions can help us do that. We need to take major action as a nation if we're going to put a dent in climate change. And today we are setting an example for the rest of the world, and right now that's exactly what we need. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
If we could hold applause until the end of all the students, we do suspend the rules for all the students, but the reason we don't applaud is because it just takes time and we want to hear as many people as possible.
We will suspend the rules at the end of the students, though. Go ahead.
Okay. Hello, my name is Leilani Vandehei, and I'm an 8th grader at Sunnyside Environmental School as well. I am worried about the issue of climate change. Not just worried, but scared. Not just because I'm in the climate change cohort or because I go to an environmental school, but because every time I look at my baby sister, I wonder what the world will be like 12 years from now when she's my age, or 20 years from now when she's grown up. I think about these things and I'm scared for her future because I don't know. I have no idea what the world will be like then or how climate change will have affected it. The city of Portland prides itself on being full of nature and having lots of trees and parks. We show that off like it's a gold medal. It's the first thing that people notice when they come to visit. But if we don't do something about all of the fossil fuels we're importing and exporting, then we won't be able to have nature and trees throughout our city, and we won't be able to have that close-to-nature lifestyle we're so accustomed to. Humans are killing the earth, and if we don't act now, then no one will. We, as the youth of today, have to at least try to save our planet. But we can't do it alone. We need your help. Please, don't let past actions become a problem for future generations to solve. Please, don't let them look at a dying planet and think of us as the generation that killed the Earth. Let them look back and say we're the generation that saved it. I want to make a difference. I don't want my children or my children's children to be born into a world that they can't change or that they can't be proud of. The first step is saying yes to these resolutions. If they don't get passed, if we don't start taking the steps to save our planet, then there won't be any hope left.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. I am Ella Schreiner, and I also am an eighth grader at Sunnyside Environmental School. I was born here in Portland, and I am proud to live in a city that is taking steps towards solving a global crisis through local actions. As you know, the burning of fossil fuels is the major cause of the increase of carbon dioxide in our atmosphere, resulting in changes to our climate. We are already seeing the impacts that a warming climate will have on our way of life and our health. The parts of nature that we most cherish as Northwesterners, like our salmon and our forests, are threatened. It is our responsibility to help them and ourselves. We must remember that humans are not the only ones affected by climate change, but we are the only ones that can do something about it. This resolution doesn't call for the end of fossil fuel use. This is about changing the path that we are on. It is about stopping the increase and about saying it's time to prepare for the future. Think about it. To build additional infrastructure for fossil fuels seems to run counter to the progress we have been making as an environmentally conscious city. The resolution is also about protecting what we care about from more immediate damage that will come from increased transport of fuels, dangers such as coal dust and the inevitable spills. The whole world is watching Portland, and this is our chance to be national leaders in the movement to counter climate change. The thought I would like to leave you with is this. It is better to look to a future with opportunities than to find ourselves looking back with regret. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's hear it for our students. I think we have some more students, is that right? Come on up. One of the best parts of being a member of the city council is when we get students here in the chamber saying thoughtful things, and that's exactly what's happening this afternoon, so we love having you here. Welcome. Who'd like to be first? Just get close to that microphone so we can all hear you.
Hi, my name is Esham Reddy.
Hi, my name is Marcel Edenlord.
And my name is Ben Wilson.
We go to Metropolitan Learning Center in Northwest Portland.
We're in sixth grade, and our teachers are Ned Haskell and Amy Odom.
This year, we have been learning about the causes and effects of climate change and how fossil fuels create pollution and global warming around the world. We decided that we want to change that.
After all, this is our future planet, and we want it to be a place where we can live.
This is why we agreed to the position on banning companies that export fossil fuels throughout Portland. We would like to thank Commissioner Fritz and Mayor Hales for supporting this position and helping to change the story of the world.
We invite the rest of the commission to agree with us and slowly help the world to be a better place.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wow, who'd like to follow that act? I don't know if we have other students. Yes, we do. Okay, so we'll have other students first, and then we'll, after we have all our students, we'll move to adults. Welcome.
Hello, I'm Sabela.
I'm Isabel Rich.
And I'm Stella.
We are sixth graders at the Metropolitan Learning Center. We would like to represent all of the young people who care about their futures. We are here to support stopping the development of new oil, coal, and gas facilities. We believe this new policy will keep Portland citizens safe and healthy. This is the first step to show other cities that if we don't make the changes and sacrifices that we need to make, we will never be able to grasp the opportunity to stop climate change. This is our future. We are the ones that have to fix it in a way that never has been done before. This is up to us, and we feel that all the weight is on our shoulders. Our voices should count in the fight against fossil fuels.
Everyone will be put at risk with the extraction and containment of the dangerous and environmentally unsound fossil fuels. This will affect our lives, and this does matter to everyone. Commissioners Novak and Fish, we beg you to join Mayor Hales and Commissioner Fritz. Vote yes on these new resolutions and continue the fight against fossil fuels.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, do we have any other student speakers this afternoon? If not, you're all great. Thank you so much. Let's move to whatever adults would like to follow that. Go ahead, Carla.
The first three are M. Mayo, Patricia Kohlberg, and Dr. Pat O'Hara. They'll be followed by Bob Solinger, Inga Fisher-Williams, and Mike Staton.
Okay, thank you. Michael, go ahead. Good afternoon.
My name is Michael Mayo. I am the secretary of the Cascadia chapter of the Pacific Green Party. And I would like to put a larger frame. I'm the first speaker today who hasn't been invited as a setup position to put the thing in your point of view. I just like to speak as a member of a public of a larger frame of reference. The Pacific Green Party is already on the case and has a state initiative already being signatures being collected to stop infrastructure improvements and infrastructure for fossil fuels being implanted throughout the state of Oregon. So we are obviously aware of the valid parts of what's going on here. But Mayor Hales, our party already assumes that sustainability means the amount of resources that a generation receives are then handed on unchanged to their progeny. And that's what sustainability means to the Pacific Green Party and the allied Green Parties of the United States. In that case, then, we'd like to tell you, you members of the City Council and the people who are attending this meeting, you are no longer top predators. You are not at the top of a food chain. You are not a master of all you survey. If we are to take the implications of what is happening to our environment seriously, then we must learn to be just one among a whole network of cooperating actors, which includes members of all of the rest of our species and members of lower forms of life, as well as the Earth itself.
Michael, thank you very much. Thank you. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to testify. My name is Patricia Kohlberg. I'm a physician with an advanced degree in public health, and I spent a couple of decades as a medical director for the Multnomah County Health Department. Most of my points, I think, have been made. I'm going to be very brief and summarize. There is the risk of catastrophic derailments and explosions. We saw those slides. And these derailments are a lot more occur a lot more than I think the industry wants to let on. There's the rail traffic-related air pollution that increases the risk of a whole host of disorders. There are the slow-moving trains that create blockages and lead to problems with traffic, but also holding up emergency vehicles. There's the noise and vibration, and I know that that is not an issue when you got one or two trains coming through, but when you got 20 a day, that can be create a lot of urban stress. There are the storage tanks that can explode. There's the oil spillage. There's the negative impacts on environment and public health. And that brings me to a point that I think no one has made yet, which is that these railroads and storage facilities tend to be located in communities of the working poor and people of color, those with the least resources to fight back against this degradation of their community safety and livability. I believe this is also an environmental justice issue. Lastly, I don't think Portland should be contributing in any way to global climate change and by supporting the fossil fuel industry. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Thank you for this opportunity to speak and to support both these measures. My name is Dr. Patrick O'Haron. I'm a resident of North Portland, a board-certified emergency general surgeon and board president of Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility, where I focus on the health impacts of climate change. Portland has a great opportunity today to protect the health of its citizens by preventing further oil-by-rail traffic and blocking the building of new fossil fuel infrastructure. Inherent to the fossil fuel economy is the existence of sacrifice zones. Sacrifice zones surround all fossil fuels at extraction, transportation, storage, and burning. They include our bodies, our air, our land, our communities. In Lac-Mégantic, Quebec, an oil train explosion killed 47, leveled the whole town, instantly creating a sacrifice zone. Climate change raises the stakes to an entirely different plane by extending the fossil fuel sacrifice zone to include the entire Earth and all people. How serious is climate change? Perhaps the title of a talk delivered by geophysicist Dr. Brad Warner at a meeting of the American Geophysical Union, which is a venerable and fairly stodgy organization, gives some clue. His talk was titled, and please pardon the language, I'm quoting here, "Is Earth Fucked?" His answer was not short or simple, but basically his answer was yes, it is, and we are too. That is, unless we make radical changes, like rapidly getting completely off fossil fuels. In order to prevent turning our entire world community into a sacrifice zone, we have to reject the model that accepts sacrifice zones as a cost of doing business and affirm that the very idea of sacrifice zones is morally reprehensible. Our actions have to show that everyone matters, that we love and care for each other, and what we value most is happiness, health, and well-being. We have a chance today to not just talk about building a better world, but take active steps. Rather than ponder just how effed the Earth may be, I prefer to ask a different question. What can we do about it? And the answer is a lot. To me, not fighting to protect the livable climate means relegating all of the people and places I love, my family, my friends, my neighbors, this beautiful city and region, the entire natural world, to a sacrifice zone of climate devastation. And I love them too much to accept that. I hope that you do too.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you very much. Thanks. Next, please.
Are Bob Solinger, Inga Fisher-Williams, and Mike Staton. And they will be followed by, I believe it's Cheryl Lou Bajan, Katie Brent, and Juliana.
Good afternoon.
Mayor Hales and members of the City Council. My name is Bob Solinger, and I'm here representing the Audubon Society of Portland and our 16,000 members in the Portland metro region. First, we want to thank Mayor Hales and Commissioner Fritz for your strong leadership on this issue. Audubon strongly supports both resolutions. I've worked in this building for over 20 years, and we've done a lot of important things for the environment, but there are very few things that you can truly say are historic. This is one of those times. This is historic. I've heard some people suggest that we can't make a difference, that you can't fix global problems with local actions. Any activist knows that the only way you can catalyze global change is starting with local action. Any activist also knows that whenever they tell you that you can't make a difference, they're really not that concerned about you, that you won't make a difference. They're concerned that you will make a difference. This decision will reverberate across the country, across the globe. It already is. Some people ask, what kind of message it sends to the local business community? I say it sends a clear and important message. It tells the community that Portland is not hitching its economic wagon to the very industries we should be driving toward obsolescence, that we want businesses in Portland that are safe and sustainable, that we are more concerned about the health of our communities than the wealth of distant shareholders. And we support Commissioner Fish's suggestion that we need to start transitioning our workforce to a new economy. We need to stop looking backwards. We need to start looking forwards. You'll also probably hear that we need more information. I'll submit to you that we already have all the information we need. We know that you cannot make fossil fuel transportation safe. We know that you can't make these facilities safe. We know that we already have an incredible liability along our river that we need to deal with, and we shouldn't be adding to that. We know that fossil fuel economies are not sustainable, and we know this infrastructure will last for half a century or more. We'd be perpetuating the very industries that we want to drive to obsolescence. We can't make it safe, we can't make it sustainable, but we can make a difference. We hope that you will all vote for these resolutions and set us on a path to a future where our economy is sustainable and fossil fuels remain in the ground where they belong.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Inga Fisher-Williams. I want to thank Commissioner Fritz and Mayor Hale for bringing this forward. We owe you a debt of gratitude. Closer?
There you go.
Is this better?
That's better.
Okay. I'm here to support both resolutions as presented, and I hope as you fine-tune the language that it will be done in the intent to be supportive and not create loopholes, and that it will be done in the spirit of clarity to make good choices possible by future investors and businesses who want to work in our city. The adoption of both resolutions will make a policy statement that fills a glaring gap in Portland's long-range climate action plan, a plan that's already been adopted by council. And I'm encouraged that subsequently there will be rules and laws and regulations follow consistent with the intent expressed here. It is a visionary step, make no mistake about this, but it logically follows the divestment policy that you have already embraced. And we applaud you for that. It embraces community values consistent with transforming Oregon and the U.S. towards a carbon-free emission future. It will bring us closer to achieving our state's emission goals, which are in jeopardy, as we heard this week. It follows the proud tradition of Oregon as a leader in land use planning, the bottle bill, and sensible, people-centered government. I'm urging your yes vote in the hope that the council's consensus decision will reflect the growing global urgency to limit carbon emissions. Your step here is consistent with the urgency of transforming our economy and the much-needed tasks to build a renewable energy future. You can lead the way by allowing a framework to evolve, and we know there will be fine-tuning and adjustments possible. The task ahead of us is very large. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
The next three are Cheryl Lou Bajan, Katie Brent, and Juliana. And they'll be followed by Alice Shapiro, Adriana Voss-Onriel, and Tadine Roos.
Good afternoon. Just get nice and close to that microphone, and you can actually slide that whole big box closer to you if you need to. Okay. Whoever would like to be first.
Honorable Mayor, City Commissioners, my name is Sherry Lou, and I'm a volunteer with 350 PDX and a student at PCC Cascade. I was born and raised in the Philippines, and I have been living in the U.S. in Portland for a year now. I am here to give voice to the people from the Philippines and to other developing countries around the world who are in severe distress and danger due to global warming and who do not have any say in the policies of the developed world that are causing our suffering. My own country is suffering increasingly from climate change. For us mainly, a severe worsening of typhoons resulting in thousands of deaths and enormous damage, especially in the past few years. Until 2010, we never had super typhoons in Mindanao, my island. But since then, there have been three super typhoons in our area, the Washi, Bupa, and Haiyan, with 10,000 deaths and billions of dollars in damages. I survived such a horror in Cagayan de Oro in 2011 when Washi hit in the middle of the night and killed more than 2,000 people in the district right next to mine. The fear, pain, and suffering is indescribable. We had never before had such disasters in our area, and there is no doubt that it is because of climate change. This is why I am here speaking to you today. Portland is in a key position to help lead the change to protect people here and everywhere from devastating and consequences of fossil fuels and lead the way for others to do the same. I want to thank you, Mayor Hales and Commissioner Fritz, for bringing this resolution to City Council. I call on the rest of the commissioners with all urgency. Vote yes to both of this resolution. Do what is just and necessary for Portland and the world. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Juliana and I'm 13 years old. I'm here because I am deeply concerned about my own future and that of my whole generation and all future generations. If we don't act now, we'll miss our last chance to preserve a livable planet. I feel as if my future is an unnecessary dark cloud. All it would take for it to be lifted would be for our elected leaders to listen and lead. The City Council has the choice now to stop all new fossil fuel projects in Portland. All the time, I see scary and dangerous-looking coal, oil, and gas trains rolling right through the middle of our city, in the middle of our neighborhoods. And I wonder, why are our elected leaders letting this happen? Maybe the adults should let us youth help you make these decisions, because they seem so obvious. Keep us healthy and safe by doing everything in your power to stop these dangerous and polluting fossil fuels from coming to our city. This will also influence other cities across the country and world to do the same. If you care at all about your children or grandchildren, vote for these resolutions today.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hello, my name is Katie Barrett. I represent Portland Rising Tide and the Climate Action Coalition. In a few weeks, leaders from around the world will gather in Paris for the 21st round of climate negotiations. But we would be naive to expect any real solutions to come out of them, because for 20 years, we've watched our national leaders bow to corporate money and power. For 20 years, they've chosen to prop up a failing financial system rather than implement real solutions. And for 20 years, fossil fuel use and emissions have continued to rise despite endless pledges to cut back. Our national leaders continue to fail us because they are bought and paid for by the very industries that are causing climate change and profiting from maintaining the status quo. We can't afford to wait for them to save us because it's likely they never will. We need to take action at the local level. It's the only place where people have any chance of being heard. And we have made ourselves heard here in Portland. It's because of the people in this room and many more who couldn't be here today that you are considering this measure. It wasn't long ago that you appeared ready to rubber stamp brand new fossil fuel infrastructure without a second thought because a company offered a lot of money, and that's what our system prioritizes. You didn't expect resistance, but you got it, and it won't end here. Not only will we continue to fight against the destructive industries that threaten our future, but we will be pushing for real and just solutions. In order to get to the root causes of climate change, we need to take responsibility for our actions and the roles we play in maintaining the destructive and oppressive systems that cause it. As the biggest consumers of energy and resources, we should be the first to cut back. And we need to ensure that solutions are accessible to everyone, not just those that are financially privileged. It's time to begin a just transition away from fossil fuels and towards a sustainable and equitable future.
Thank you very much.
The next three are Alice Shapiro, Adriana Voss-Andreal, and Tadine Roos. And they'll be followed by Skip Turr, John Talbert, and Joe Westby.
You brought a backup group, I see. All right.
Backup singers. Hello, I'm Alice Shapiro, and I'm here with the Your Portland Raging Grannies. And if it's okay with you, we'd like to sing a little song in support of the resolutions.
Of course. No one can say no to a granny.
Thank you. Oh, give us a home where oil trains can't roam and we're safe from explosions and fire, where children can play and the birds and fish stay free from harm, that's our simple desire. Fossil fuels are not clean. Make all of our energy green. We say no to those rigs, and there's terminals so big, and companies that rape our land. There are so many ways to make power these days. From the wind and the sun, don't you see? Let's use trains to ship grain, not oil or propane. This is good for our economy.
Wow.
Even harder than the students to top, right?
That's where it was just harder to follow.
What's next? Okay, thank you. Okay.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon.
My name is Tadine Roos, and I live in Vancouver, near the edge of the bomb train blast zone and across from the tank farm sited on non-reinforced soil across the river. As a girl, I learned much about the revered U.S. Constitution, the balance of powers, the we the people, pursuit of happiness language, and I believed it all for a good half century until I read Howard Zinn's People History, and I learned about the struggles of the vast majority who were not included in the We the People. Our governing document was written by and for the 1% of that day to protect and enhance their assets. Then I read Charles Beard's An Economic Interpretation of the U.S. Constitution, first published in 1913. The dots really began to connect. The governing system worked very well for the 1% of 1787, and it has worked very well for the 1% for the next 240 years, and still protects and enhances the assets of today's 1%. We, the disenfranchised majority, are not only denied education, medical care, housing, and unadulterated food, but today we are denied breathable air, clean water, and even the physical safety of our bodies. Our living planet is being sacrificed to corporate profit. I urge you, Portland City Council members, to vote in the direction of an updated code ordinance to prohibit projects to create or expand infrastructure or store or transport fossil fuels. This is probably unconstitutional, but do it anyway. This is an opportunity to do what government should do, protect the citizens and promote their welfare. On Cascadia.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, welcome.
Mayor Hale, City Commissioners, I'm Adriana Vos Andre, Chair and Co-Founder of 350PDX. And I want to begin by reading a brief statement of support for these resolutions from Reverend Joseph Santos Lyons, the Executive Director of APANO, Asian Pacific Network of Oregon, who could not make it here today. Quote, "One of the best ways to make change is to transform our systems and build the structures that reflect our values. I support this effort because it invests in a future that protects and preserves life. This is a moment of turning away from fossil fuels we know are destructive to the people and the environment, that ultimately undermine our economy and family well-being. I can't deny these changes are hard, and yet, together, we can move into a healthy new way with sustainable infrastructure," unquote. I also want to add my own brief statement. I speak as a scientist, a doctor, a mother, and a part of a movement of people who are watching you today. We all came out to City Hall today, many taking time off work, off of school, off of busy lives, because we are in a state of ecological, public health, and humanitarian crisis. These resolutions cannot wait one more year, one more month, or even one more day. The time to show leadership is now. We here in City Hall, along with thousands more who could not come, are taking close note of who stands today with the bold leadership of Mayor Hales and Commissioner Fritz on the right side of history.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
The next three are Skip Turr, John Talbert, and Joe Westby, and they'll be followed by Randy Camp, Rob DeDellens, and Gregory Monahan.
Good afternoon. Welcome. Who'd like to go first? Pull that microphone down closer to you. There you go.
Mr. Mayor, City Council, thank you for this opportunity.
My name is Skip Tarr. I'm here today representing the OWL Oregon Rail Users League. I'm the owner and president of Tarr LLC, or a distribution company engaged in petrochemical distribution for the region.
Can you just pull that whole box a little closer to you there so okay. I can hear, pick you up a little better? There you go. That's good. It's low tech, but it works.
I would start off by, I'd like to mention of the tribal people that are here earlier today. And they're reminding us of our ancestors settling this region as a region for trade.
Thank you.
And it's because of that is why I'm here today. The trade in our modern day world is manufacturing and agricultural based, and it stretches across the United States and the world. A strong, efficient, safe rail system is vital for a region like Oregon, unlike any other region in the country. Things that we love so great about it is we're remote, but there's a cost for that, and it requires a good rail system. Because of that, I have some issues with the resolutions. The first resolution, to me, is too broad. And there's too many opportunities, potentially, for challenges to come to stop other projects that could help, that could impair other commodity movements, such as grain or apples or just or shoes coming through the region. That would be an unfortunate situation, and I think that because of the loose wording of the resolution, that is a potential. Secondly, I'm not sure that I agree that it's government's duty to single out commodities and eliminate them. I don't think that's a role of government. Lastly, I would ask that at the very least the train be slowed down a little bit and review the resolutions because it appears there are inaccuracies and. Misstatements in the resolutions that I think can be addressed by further involvement with the business community and the railroads in particular.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. Mayor Hales, members of the City Council, my name is Joe Westby, and I'm the Director of Operations for Feral Gas Propane. I am also the past president of the Pacific Propane Gas Association and the chairman of the Oregon Governmental Affairs Committee, which works under the PPGA. I believe it was my testimony that Commissioner Saltzman was questioning earlier.
Mr. Fish, but I take the compliment.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Fish.
That's okay.
About Portland, it was your letter that referenced Portland Public Schools.
That's correct.
That caused me to ask staff if
yes.
That was intended to be covered.
Yes.
And I think you got an answer that you liked.
I did get an answer that I like. And there was a second point in here, and I'll just make it rather quickly since we did cover that, and I do appreciate the fact that you looked at the material and you read it. It provides faith in the system that you guys are paying attention to all of this. Secondly, propane is listed by the federal government as a clean fuel and is important for reducing greenhouse gas in transportation. During the discussion on Oregon's clean fuels program, in the state legislative process, the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality wanted propane dealers to become credit generators. The ability is optional for propane under the new law. The success of the program is dependent on getting enough credit generators to participate. Propane would be an important part of this program's success. My company and other propane dealers are currently considering whether or not to become involved with the Clean Cities program. However, if we are constrained from expanding our infrastructure for transportation-related projects in the state's largest city, then we may decide it's not worth participating in. Feral Gas and the PPGA encourage you to slow down and rethink the wording of this resolution. Its effects would be broader than you might realize and harmful to the state as a whole. Portland's a fantastic city, and you guys are doing great things. Everybody's watching. So we appreciate your diligence towards this.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you
very much. Welcome.
Mayor Hales, commissioners, good afternoon. My name is John Talberth. I'm president and senior economist for Center for Sustainable Economy. In addition to implementing what appears to be the will of the people by a large margin, passing these resolutions also makes good economic sense. And let me give you just three quick reasons. Number one is the public financial liability issue. As we transition away from fossil fuels, the vast majority of fossil fuel infrastructure will become obsolete brownfields that need to be dismantled and cleaned up to free up that land for other beneficial uses. Now, it's something I think this is labor would support this as part of a just transition. But experience has shown that without bonding and other financial assurance mechanisms in place,